Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
One of the things that we're going to look at today, there are so many things we could study about who we are in Jesus, particularly as it pertains to how we live today, tomorrow, and the next day, how we live our lives here on earth in all of the ways that our Father sustains us, right? There are so many ways we can look at that. Today, we're going to look at one more before we transition to another aspect of who we are in Jesus, which is basically the value that Jesus gives us, the value He gives us because of who we are in Jesus. And we're going to transition to that over the next couple of weeks. But today, we're going to finish out all of the ways that our Father sustains us by looking at one more aspect of how we are sustained. And it's kind of a surprising one. It's a really interesting one. It actually comes into who we are as believers in Christ. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5. Romans 12, 4 and 5. It says this: "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same function, so we, as believers, being many, are one body in Christ." We are one body in Christ. And everyone, members one of another, because you are in Christ. One of the ways that you are sustained is found all around you. God provides you with brothers and sisters in Christ who help you, who encourage you, who challenge you, who walk with you through life as you follow after Jesus, right? And He describes these brothers and sisters as what? His body. He describes them as His body to show us how you and I connect to one another. It's interesting how God uses all kinds of word pictures in Scripture to illustrate how we are connected, right? He, for example, how we are connected to Jesus. He uses these, we find these word pictures in Scriptures to describe different aspects of how we are connected to Jesus. We see the illustration of a shepherd and his sheep to see how Jesus leads us, how He cares for us, how He nourishes us, how He meets our needs, how He protects us from danger, how a good shepherd and his sheep. That's a word picture to describe our connection in Jesus. Another way we saw earlier is how we receive our strength to follow after Him, right? He uses another word picture as Jesus is the vine, the tree, the vine, and we are His branches. And as we are connected to Him, we see that through His strength in us, we are able to produce fruit. Word pictures describing a certain aspect of connection. We see this again, not only in our connection with Jesus and us, but we also see word pictures being used to describe different aspects of how we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are connected to one another. And this is yet another example of that. Jesus describes us, we are described as the body of Christ to describe all of the different attributes, all of the different aspects of who we are, the variety of people that we are, the variety of members, how they work together to become one body. The body of Christ has members that have unique attributes and roles that help us make up the body, right? And we're connected together with unique, special ways that are designed to help one another as a body of Christ. This is exactly why God designed you to be a part of a church family. He designed you not only to need Him, but He also designed you to need your brothers and sisters. And we're going to get to this later on, how He designed you to be needed by your brothers and sisters. It's all a connection, right? So we're going to look at that connection and the way God uses, God designed this brilliant way for us to be able to sustain one another, to help one another. So we're going to look at that today. So first of all, how does the connection work? How do we see how this connection as a body of Christ work? 1 Corinthians 12 is an awesome chapter to help us understand how this works. The whole chapter is completely dedicated to help us understand who we are as a body in Christ, right? After our time here, take some time to read the whole chapter. If you're by yourself, sit down for a little bit and read through 1 Corinthians 12. If you're with other people, read 1 Corinthians 12 together after this time that we have together here in this video, okay? Spend some time. And because our time together here in this message is limited, what I'm going to do is take the main points of the chapter and highlight them for you so that it makes more sense for you as you read it. And we're going to do something interesting. We're going to actually start in the middle of the chapter, work our way towards the end of the chapter, and then circle back to the beginning and work our way towards the middle again. Kind of right in the middle, make a big circle all the way around the chapter, all right? So let's do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 12. Here's what it says. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. It's interesting. We see again how the Holy Spirit guides us, right? Not only does he guide us in our relationship with Jesus by revealing who Jesus is to us, patiently revealing Jesus to us, he also guides us in our relationship to one another. Just like he connects us to Jesus by revealing Jesus to us, he also connects us, to one another in order to reveal how we are connected together. So how does he do that? Think about this. The same Holy Spirit that is in you is also in me and in your brothers and sisters in Christ. He guides us and he connects us to one another. He's basically the bond. We use the Japanese word kizuna, the intricate bond that we have that binds us together. That's the Holy Spirit that does that. All of the different aspects of who we are as individual members is connected by the bond of the Holy Spirit within each of us. I mean, think about it. We're all different. We have all kinds of different backgrounds. We have different personalities. We have different characteristics. We have different hobbies, different aspects of who we are as individuals, right? And yet he is able to work to show each of us, to help each of us work together as one body. And here's how he does that. He knows what I need and he knows what you need. And as a body of Christ, he is able to direct the whole body to meet your need as well as to meet my need, because the same Spirit that sees the needs of one part of the body also guides the rest of the body to meet that need. We are all guided and directed and shown how to be a body of Christ through one Spirit, one Holy Spirit who works through each of us. Your needs can be met by the rest of the body because the Holy Spirit not only sees your need, but also guides the body in meeting your need. Isn't that cool? That's amazing. I love that. That's an amazing thought. Let's keep thinking about it. 1 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 12. Let's go to verse 18. We're going to continue to study more about this. Verse 18 says this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. Who puts you where you are in the body of Christ? God did. And he literally prepared you exactly who you are, exactly the unique you that you are, to be the exact part of the body of Christ that the body of Christ needs you to be. God's like, I'm just like he created people, like he created Adam and Eve. And he said, this is the way I want to make Adam and Eve, with the different characteristics and different special aspects of who they are. In the same way, God creates each body of Christ in a similar way, where every aspect of who we are is specifically designed. So we all need all of the different aspects of who we are as a body of believers, right? He gives each of us a specific role just exactly as he has prepared in order to help the body to have its needs met. Each member is different, but also each member is important. This is important to understand. I mean, think about your own body. Each role, each body has a different role, right? For example, I have my hands. I could try to use my hands to walk, and some people are really good at it. But in all honesty, normal people don't use their hands. Well, I can't say normal people, but usually people don't use their hands to walk. Why is that? Because God gave them feet, right? I can use my feet to walk because that's how they are designed. Now, if I try to use my feet to do something like typing on a computer or even using chopsticks, guess what? I'm going to fail miserably because my hands were designed to accomplish that role. My ears can't see. My eyes can't hear. Each part of me has an important job. And all of those different jobs work together to be one body. This is what God is talking about here. Verse 19, let's keep reading. If they were all one member, where were the body? He's basically saying, if all of the body were the same thing, no longer does it become a body. What would happen if all the parts tried to do the same thing? Have you ever tried smelling something out of your ear? It doesn't work. Why? Because that's not what it was designed to do. We're not all supposed to be the same. Our unique differences are what makes the body actually work well. This is so important. Your differences is what makes you be part of the body that makes the body work well. Each part of the body helps the other part of the body to function as it all works together. Think about how you ate breakfast this morning. You woke up. You used your feet to walk to the refrigerator. You used your hands to open the door. You used your eyes to look inside to see what looked good. Then you got the things out with your hands. You prepared them with your hands. Your nose told you whether or not what you were making smells and tastes good or not. It's a warning sign. It helps you to know what smells good or what doesn't smell good to make sure it smells okay. Then you use your hands to bring the food to your mouth. Your mouth and your teeth, your jaw, choose the food. And then your throat swallows the food. Your stomach digests the food. Then the blood carries all of the nutrients that you just ate, carries all of those nutrients all the way to the rest of your body, all the way down to your toes. All of the different aspects of the body work in conjunction with one another, doing their specific roles so that the body can function well. Verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Every part of the body helps the other parts of the body. There is not one part of the body that can say, I'm good on my own. I got this. I'm fine. I don't need the rest of y'all. I'm good. I think this reality, while we are in COVID Tokyo emergency status, sets in a little bit more clearly, doesn't it? I tell you what, every time we go into emergency status, it like, this is the human pastor inside of me. He's like, oh, not again. We got to figure out how to, this is not good for our church family, because when the church family gathers together, it's good for the body. It's good for each member of the body being together, because we see, actually, this time is maybe good for us because it helps us to see how badly we need one another. Not one of us can say, I can follow Jesus on my own. I don't need my brothers or sisters. I can do this on my own. We literally cannot do it on our own. That is not the way God designed you. It's not the way God designed you. This is an interesting thought. God did not design you not to need him. He did not design you not to need your brothers and sisters. Here's the thing. This is the thing that's important. Jesus doesn't expect you to follow him without the rest of the body. He expects you to follow him by being a part of the body. What does that mean? He doesn't expect you to be the hand and the eye and the mouth and the nose and the feet and the stomach. He expects you to be the part he made you to be, and trust in him that his body will be the parts that you are not. Isn't that amazing? That takes so much pressure off of us to be everything when our body is the one who can do everything that we can't be. It's the way that God designed the body and each one of us as members of the body to rely on his plan. So how do we do that? How do we, as a body of believer, how do we use our differences to help us become a unified body rather than our differences forcing us to be a divided body? The answer to that is found in verse 25. It says this, that there should be no schism, no division in the body. How does that happen? But that the members should have the same care one for another. We are unified when we care for one another. You see, when one body part cares for another body part, as bodies, as members of the body care for one another, the body becomes stronger, it becomes more mature, it grows, it becomes more cohesive. This is how God designs each member of the body to fulfill their role. We care for another. Our care for one another unifies us. This means two things. First, it means that you have to be willing to ask for and receive care from other parts of the body. This is how God designed it. It's okay to have needs, and it's okay to receive help from the body. When you have a need, don't hold back from asking for that need to be met. Have you ever thought about what the nose does when it itches? It sends a message to the brain saying, send the hand up. I got an itch, right? And then the hand comes up to scratch the itch, right? So many times when you're carrying something and neither hand is available to scratch it, you get it. You know, when you get that itch, when you can't, like your hands aren't there and you try to scratch the itch with your nose, like you try to move your nose around in a certain way in order to try to get that itch. But you know what happens? It just doesn't work. Eventually you got to let go of it and let your finger scratch the itch, right? That's basically like what we're talking about here. We are not designed to meet our own needs. It doesn't work well when we try to meet our own needs because that's not how God designed us. It works better when you let the body of believers help you. One, ask for and receive care. But secondly, be willing to offer care to those who need it. This means two aspects. The first aspect is this. You have to not undervalue God's design for you. Don't undervalue how God designed you. Oh, I'm not helpful. There's nothing I can offer to the church family. That literally contradicts God's plan and his care for you in fulfilling your role as the body of Christ. He actually does have a great plan for you. Even if you're the finger for the itchy nose, you mean everything. Do you understand that context? Secondly, be willing to give of yourself to be a part in helping the rest of the body. There's another aspect of that. So once we get the fact that we are designed to help one another, there's another aspect of how the body works together in caring for, how the members work together in caring for the body. We see this in verse 26. It says this, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. The body works in unity, and this is what we're talking about here. The body works in unity when we also suffer and rejoice together. Right now, my son Tyler is going through a time of very difficult sadness, right? And it's one of the reasons we're in America right now. Tyler, over these last couple of months together, Ty and I have often wept together as we go through this time of mourning, this time of sadness for him, right? And he lets me share in his suffering in this small way. He lets me share in his suffering by weeping with him through this time of difficulty in his life. And that's what the body does, right? If you think about how the body responds to pain in another member of the body, the whole body responds, works together to respond to that pain. I'll show you how that works. After we're done with the video, go someplace and find a place where you can stub your toe, like hit your toe really hard. See how the body responds to that. The other foot starts jumping up and down, right? The hands reach to the toes. The mouth starts letting out this massive excruciating pain. Hopefully not curse words. We don't want that to happen. But it lets out all these excruciating sounds of, right? And our face winces into this massive painful contortion, right? Even though it's like the furthest point away from the toe, it still responds grimacing and acting out and responding to the pain that's in the toe, right? You see that how that responding, right? That's what we are supposed to do as a body of Christ. When somebody is suffering, we work together, we respond, we come to the care of the suffering member. That's how we're supposed to be as a body of Christ, right? Now let's flip it over, have somebody give you a neck massage. When you get that neck massage, what happens? Your face also starts doing contortions, but it's like blissful. Oh, wow, this is great. You know, your eyeballs roll into the back of your socket. Oh, don't stop, please, I beg you. Your body starts to relax, all the muscles, even down to your toes. Even sometimes when it's like a really good spot, your toes start to tingle a little bit. Oh, that's a good spot. Keep going right there, you know? That's basically like our body responds in the joy, the pleasure that one part of the body receives and the whole body joins in rejoicing over that, right? That's how we are as a body of Christ. This is how God designs us. The whole body responds. So when we trust in the plan that God has for us as a body of believers, the more we trust in his plan, the more we will discover how wonderful his plan is to help each member of the body to grow more and more in their following after Jesus, to help each member as they go through times of suffering and as they go through times of joy. This is how God created you and how God designed you to be as a member of the body of Christ. Let's circle back to the top of the chapter and see one of the tools that God gives us that enables us to even more help the body of Christ. It's found in verse 4. It says this. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. From here to verse 12, he's talking about the spiritual gifts that God gives each member of the body of Christ. Each member has been given a spiritual gift. What do we mean by a spiritual gift? We can see this spiritual gift being talked about in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 12, but we can also see it talked about in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 too. Look at those sometime this week. These are special abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to every single member of the body to accomplish the task of helping the body in his role as a member of the body. There is not one member that does not have at least one spiritual gift. And there's all kinds of spiritual gifts. Read through those passages to see what these different spiritual gifts are. What is the purpose of these spiritual gifts? Verse 7 tells us. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the revealing of the Spirit through the gifts that he gives us, is given to every man to profit withal, the whole body. Every member is given a gift to profit, to help the whole body. The Holy Spirit gives every member specific spiritual tools or gifts that are specifically designed to help the rest of the body. This is an amazing thought. And here's what this means for you as a member of the body of Christ. Because you are in Jesus, because you are in Christ, Jesus gives you a whole bunch of spiritual gifts, a whole bunch of them. But he doesn't give them to you directly. He doesn't give them to you directly. Instead, what he does is he gives them to you through your brothers and sisters in Christ who are part of the body that you belong to. All their spiritual gifts are there to sustain you and to help you to follow Jesus. This is why it is so important for the body of Christ to be close, to be intimate, to share with one another the spiritual gifts that have been given them. All of these spiritual gifts that are theirs are for you. This is why you trust in his design and his plan for you as a member of the body of Christ. Just like you have to trust in him to follow him for all of the different ways he helps you, just as you trust the Holy Spirit to guide you and to teach you more about Jesus through his word, just as you trust in his your satisfaction in him to be full enough to keep you from being tempted by the lures of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of the life, the temptations. In the same way, you trust in God's design for your life as a member of the body of Christ, trusting that all of the spiritual gifts that he gives to the body are there for you through your brothers and sisters. They're available to you as you unite yourself to your body of Christ. And you give to meet their needs. The spiritual gifts that he gives to you are not for you. They are for the body of Christ. And the spiritual gifts that are given to the body of Christ through the other brothers and sisters in your church family and those brothers and sisters around you, they are there to help you as you follow after Jesus. They help you to encourage one another, to comfort one another. They're there to teach you the scriptures. They're there to help you in your time of suffering, to rejoice with you in your time of joy as you live life here and now, following after Jesus. God gives you yet another way in which he sustains your path so that you, along with your body of believers, the body of Christ, working together, helping one another as you grow and as you mature and as you become a stronger body, as you care for one another and meet one another's spiritual needs through the spiritual gifts, the spiritual tools that the Holy Spirit has made available to you and for you. So trust him in it. Trust him to become more and more a part of the body of Christ that he lets you become part of. God's plan for your life is amazing. It's perfect. It's perfect. So trust him in it. Because you are in Jesus, you get to be part of his body. Praise the Lord. Trust in the way God has designed for you. Receive help from your brothers and sisters and give the care to your brothers and sisters with the specific spiritual gifts that God has prepared for you. If you don't understand these spiritual gifts, what it is, we've done a whole series on it. We've probably gone through probably 15 or 20 different sermons just on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they apply to your life, how to know what they are, and how to use them. So feel free to go through those resources as well on the website as well. And use that to help you understand who you are as the body of Christ and how God designed you specifically to be a member of his body. All right, let's close in prayer. And then we'll go ahead and finish our time in the word today. Father, again, we see yet another beautiful way, another perfect design that you have prepared for us as a body of Christ and each one members of that body. You've given each of us roles so we don't have to be all things, but we can rely on one another. We can trust one another as we follow after you, as we grow as a body of Christ. Help us to have that unity. Help us to have that care for one another, to suffer with each other and to rejoice with each other. Help us to be able to grow more and more in that and to grow more and more in our care for one another, each of us in the roles that you have given us to serve the body of Christ here at Akigawa Baptist Church. Thank you for the way you love us. Thank you for the way you meet our needs, for how you sustain us. In Jesus' name, amen.